We've made it through Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, but the ads keep coming. For the next 3 weeks, every retailer will be working hard to earn your holiday bucks. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There are a lot of people who feel overwhelmed at this time of year, and many who feel that the focus on materialism has overshadowed the joy and the fun of the holidays. This hour, I'll talk with Carol Yates and Susan Salterberg of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project. We'll talk about getting back in touch with the joy and meaning of the season, and we'd love for you to share your most meaningful holiday traditions with us. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The holiday season should be a wonderful time, but for many of us, it can be overwhelming. This hour, we're going to talk about bringing the joy back into the holiday season with Carol Yates and Susan Salterberg of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project based at the University of Northern Iowa. But first, here's a story that a lot of us relate to.
I'm Peggy Huppert from West Des Moines. When my kids were little, I made a big deal out of Christmas. We had a big house, and I felt the need to decorate every room, Christmas cards with family pictures, open house, a party where I made everything, going to other parties, going to lots of events, and lots of gifts, lots of cookie baking, lots of cooking. And by the end of Christmas, I was very crabby and exhausted, and I got to the point where I started dreading Christmas. But I really did make the decision, and it wasn't very dramatic, but kind of slowly but surely, I started paring things off. So I stopped the cards. I decided on just a few events that I really wanted to go to, that I understood I really enjoyed, that had meaning for me, focused on giving fewer gifts, but ones that were more meaningful, I thought, and spending less money, making fewer kinds of cookies, asking for help, which is something that a lot of women have problems with, you know, asking for people to help, like bring food to help with, instead of having to feel like you have to do it all yourself. Things are so much better now, more relaxed. You know, there's always new challenges, right? So my son recently got married, and he and his wife live in Washington, D.C. And so they come home for the holidays, and there's always a lot of angst about that, where they're going to spend time and with who. And I understand that as my kids get older and get married and start having their own children, that is part of what comes with it, is some fighting over who's going to be where. But I've really learned to let a lot of that go and to just say, here's what I'd like to do, and anybody is welcome to join us for any part of it. But I'm not going to get worked up and excited if you can't. And if something goes wrong, you know, we'll deal with it. It doesn't all have to be perfect. But I realized, you know, I was really making myself crazy, and I was being short-tempered. And I would take it out on my family, you know, the people who were closest to me, for whom I ostensibly was doing all that. But I had resentments that I wasn't getting enough help. I was tired. I was doing all this work, and people didn't properly appreciate it. Well, that was really all on me. I've just gotten a lot more relaxed, and as a result, I don't dread the holidays anymore, and I'm not exhausted. I'm able to enjoy them a lot more.
And that's a story that Peggy contributed to us, but I'm sure that our guests today have heard a lot of stories along those lines. With me in the studio today are Carol Yates and Susan Salterberg of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project, which is based at the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. And let's go back to when this project first started, a little over 3 years ago, right?
Yes.
And Susan, what was it that made you start this project? What were you seeing that made you think there's a need for this?
Well, I work for the Center for Energy and Environmental Education, and So we're looking at environmental impacts. And there, Americans have a deep aversion to waste, but we don't see most of the waste for many of our products. Planet Money is doing this series right now on the chain of production of various materials like T-shirts. And that's a, it also not only has that financial impact, but it also has this environmental impact that's invisible to most of us. And it's but all the research shows that people are happiest when they are focusing on relationships and when they have time for leisure activities.
So it was really the amount of stuff that's involved in the holidays for so many of us that, that made you think this is something we should try to tackle.
We could look at this. And since it doesn't even make us happy, it creates stress like Peggy talked about. Let's see if we can focus on what really matters to us.
All right. And so over the past 3 years, you've been talking to a lot of people about what makes their holidays meaningful, looking at alternative gift ideas and that kind of thing. When you first start talking to somebody who says, you know, I'm totally overwhelmed by the holidays, what can you offer them to say, you know, here's a way to create a plan for yourself to get back to what you love about the holidays, because this shouldn't be something that you dread for about 3 months before it comes. So what do you do?
No, it shouldn't be anything you dread. We should look forward to it. But there are always challenges that come up that Peggy talked about. But one thing they could do is go to the reclaimyourholidays.org website, and we have this tool called the 5-minute assessment tool. They can search for that just right at the top of the page on the search engine. And there we ask people to evaluate what activities last year brought them pleasure and how much pleasure, how much meaning, and then do they want to do more or less of it. So I have found that very helpful.
I could look and I could say, well, decorating, cookie making, party, gift giving, and actually take a look at each one of those things that when you put them all together creates this overwhelming amount of stuff that we need to get done in a short period of time. Carol?
And Charity, you honed in on something that's really important. You said to help people make a plan. And we found, and as Susan knows, research shows that without a plan, things don't change. Things don't get done. We all need a plan for every day to get done what we want to get done. But if you think about things that are hard to change, like going on a diet or quitting smoking, those are really difficult. But if people can make a plan, and the 5-minute assessment can help them do that, and maybe this year find one thing they think they might like to change and make a plan for how to change that, that would be a great way to start.
And when people look at that list, and I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people who've gone through the assessment, when they look at that list and they start realizing that, oh, you know, maybe the thing that they love so much is that they get to go ice skating with family once a year, how does that impact their feelings about the holidays? Have you seen light bulbs going off over people's heads?
Well, I have my personal experiences with that. When I was younger and I would see all of the gifts under the trees for my nieces and nephews, I decided, well, I would like to do something maybe the day after Christmas. And so I wrapped up some T-shirts and some craft materials, and we spent the afternoon doing crafts on the day after Christmas when they were sort of bored with all the stuff they'd gotten. And my sister ran upstairs, got some old T-shirts of theirs so the adults could do it too. It was great fun. And so, no, I think that I know that I have found it just so much nicer to focus on experiences rather than stuff.
Right. Well, and did you feel before that or have the idea that with all of the things that the children are receiving for the holidays that any thing you might buy them and give them would just be lost in the shuffle?
Yeah, I absolutely did.
So it was also a desire to actually make a connection with the kids and to be noticed and have them be thankful for what you gave them beyond beyond that ripping off the package?
That part of the holidays is really fun, anticipating all of those gifts. There's no question that that anticipation is really what probably matters more than the actual gifts.
That's probably true. Carol?
We also know that the memories of making a T-shirt with their aunt or going ice skating on New Year's Day or taking a walk, if that's what your family enjoys doing, or making cookies together, those memories are really what keep us going and the things that we remember most. And we have found that people, when we talk to them about this, the other thing that they appreciate knowing is that if they get stressed at the holidays, they're not alone and that there's something they can do about it.
We would love to hear from you this hour. We're going to talk about some ways to really bring the joy back into the holiday season and simplify bringing that joy back through simplification, reclaiming your holidays. We'd love to hear your stories about the most meaningful part of the holiday season for you. What do you love best about the holidays? You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post on our Facebook page. And Lisa's on the line from Davenport. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
Hi. And you've done some downsizing, some holiday downsizing?
Yes. Years ago, I sort of rejected all of Christmas. And someone gently reminded me not to throw the baby Jesus out with the bathwater. And eventually I just gathered back what had meaning for me. And the one I'd like to share is that instead of putting a lot of lights out, I really love the image of the light amidst the darkness. So I burn one solitary candle in my window.
Oh, that's nice, Lisa. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thanks for the topic.
Again, you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. And yesterday I had a wonderful conversation with Santa Claus. And, you know, we talked a lot about his role in the holiday and how he feels he fits into the meaning of the season. But there are people who feel like the whole reason they're celebrating, whichever holiday they're celebrating, has gotten lost amidst all of the presents and the other things that are really fun parts of the holiday season. Have you had people talk to you about that they feel like, wait, you know, we don't even know what holiday we're celebrating anymore. This is a commercial holiday and it doesn't have that much to do with the basis for the day.
Oh, certainly some people talk about that. We have this survey also on the web called the 5-minute survey
survey. I got a little carried away. I need to take a break here.
Okay.
So we will continue this conversation when we get back in just a moment. I'm talking with Carol Yates and Susan Salterberg of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project based at the University of Northern Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa.
Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. And this hour, we're talking about bringing the joy and the meaning back into the holiday season, something that sometimes gets lost amidst all the shopping and the commercials and all of the events that we have planned and the holiday parties, really the crush of things that happen during the holiday season that can be so overwhelming for some people. With me in the studio today are Carol Yates and Susan Salterberg of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project, which is based at the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. And I also want to bring somebody else into the conversation now. A few weeks ago, when broadcaster Mike Pace was on the show to talk about his new collection of poetry, Dreams and Detours, reflecting on the souvenirs of a lifetime. After the show, he and I were talking about the holidays, and he told me about a wonderful tradition that he and his wife have created for their grandchildren. Hello, Mike.
Charity, nice to hear you.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come back and chat with us again.
I've been listening. I'm enjoying it. Great, great topic.
Well, and let's talk about the stories that you write for your grandchildren every year. When did this start for you?
Oh, I'm going to say maybe 10 years ago or so. I have teenage grandkids now, and I'm going to say about a decade ago. And we just found ourselves trying to relate to the frame of reference the kids had at those ages, you know, and figure out a way to lay some values in between the lines in these stories. There's so much addictive peer pressure and media, you know, proliferance today, if that's a word, that the kids, normal kids and teenagers, they think the universe, that they're the center of the universe, and you've got to kind of work at reminding them that they're not. And I think that's what we tried to do with these stories, not necessarily from a religious point of view, but from a values point of view. And it's part of a bigger picture, really, in terms of the kind of gifts that we give at Christmas time. We've been, not to plug Heifer International, but we've done that kind of gifting to remind the kids that they're fortunate and not everyone is, and that maybe they need to be more aware of people who are less fortunate. And now they're of the age where we're going to give them dollars and let them choose a charity on their own to choose as their charity for the giving. But the stories, you know, everything from the bullying business to peer pressure to silly stories about ornaments coming to life on the Christmas tree and the skunk that dressed up like a raccoon so he could get into the neighborhood party, those kinds of things. And you know, it has become a nice tradition, and I really think the kids, even at 15 and 18, I think they look forward to it.
Well, and a few minutes ago, we were talking with Susan, who, as an aunt, was saying that, you know, there were all these gifts under the tree, and she wanted to give her nieces and nephews something that they would connect with her and notice and remember and really form some memories. Was that also part of the impulse for you to create something that would last as opposed to a toy that they would play with for a little while?
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing about the this big melting pot in the United States, we're a little bit shy on traditions. You go to Europe or Asia or lots of other places around the world, and traditions are a little more pure because we have such a mix here of backgrounds and people and so on and so forth. So I think you got to work a little harder coming up with the family traditions, and that's part of it. And you know what's terrific, I think, is when the kind of the proof in the pudding, when somebody asks our kids what they got for under the tree for Christmas, when they mention the gift from Heifer International and the story from Grandma and Grandpa, that's pretty special. Yeah, that means maybe you're getting through, you know.
Well, and so now that your kids are teenagers, your grandkids are teenagers, you know, this is something that I do for my kids, too. I write them a story every year before Christmas. And but my kids are 6 and 8 now. And I kind of thought that this was something that might go away after a while. But how have you transitioned into something that they still care about in their teen years?
Well, that's interesting because you do have to kind of focus on the frame of reference they have at different ages. And, of course, that evolves. We've done stories about the crow that had a squeaky voice and his buddies wouldn't pay any attention to him, to the fawn and her mother who got caught in the blizzard. And those were when the kids were quite a bit younger. But in recent years, we've done a story about a foster child who joined their family and got into trouble and how the family dealt with that. So, you know, you try to keep your thumb on the pulse of what's going on in their life, I guess.
And your wife is an artist, right?
Right. And she has done a little bit of illustrating to some of these stories. And we have in the back of our mind maybe playing around with these stories a little bit and making them a little more generic and maybe doing a book of these stories in which she would illustrate, you know.
Well, have you started writing this year's story?
No, our back's to the wall. I've been so busy out pitching my book everywhere. It's time to get serious about that. We got a couple of weeks here.
All right. Well, good luck, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking
nice
with us
to
again.
Chat with you. Have a happy holiday.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Mike Pace is a broadcaster. He's also a poet and has just published his first collection of poetry called Dreams and Detours. In this hour, we're talking about reclaiming our holidays, bringing the joy and meaning back into the holiday season when we feel overwhelmed by the crush of so many other things.
things that can take our time. With me, Carol Yates and Susan Salterberg of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project. And you're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Sarah is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What story would you like to share?
Oh, I just think it's a wonderful thing. My husband makes sure that every Christmas he and his daughter have a daddy-daughter date. It is his special Christmas present to her. Every year he gets a ticket and takes her to the Gallagher, for instance. One year when she was little, they went and saw the Chinese acrobats. Often they go see a performance like Chris Thiele, the mandolin player, or Zool Bailey, the cello player, or Bobby McFerrin. Last year they went to see Spamalot, and they just loved it. And we were just remembering that the other night, and she's 21 now, and she still remembers these events with great pleasure.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Really, yeah, it's brought her closer to her dad. So
oh, that's wonderful. Very cool. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing.
Sure, take care.
Bye-bye. And again, you can share meaningful parts of your holiday celebration with us at 866-780-9100. And Susan, I know that giving experiences is one of the things that you've really focused on in this effort. And tell me a little bit more about that. Where did that idea come from, and why do you think it's a good idea?
Well, I think it I just started doing that with my nieces and nephews because that's what I was gravitating towards, something that we could do together. And I come from a family that has done this kind of thing. I have a sister that homeschooled her kids and was so creative, and she's probably maybe an influence for me. But now we have found that there's research out there that says, as Carol mentioned, that people actually remember experiences longer than they do material gifts. So, and we have a lot of resources on the website where people can go and look at handouts that have information and tips on different kinds of experiential gifts that you can give and different kinds of alternative gifts. I do want to say that I'm so impressed with what you and Mike do with your books, but that seems daunting to me. So if any of the listeners are feeling the same way, it doesn't have to be
well,
like
and,
that.
And that's true. I mean, the idea, I know so many people who knit and sew and weave and make the most beautiful things. And my sister-in-law is one of these people who's incredibly gifted with her hands and can make the most beautiful things. But the amount of time that takes, the time and energy, I imagine that can become incredibly overwhelming for people as well.
I'm sure that it can, but there's so many other possibilities out there. And the one handout that we have about giving gifts of experience talks about, like Sarah mentioned, giving tickets to some kind of a show that people would like to attend, or offering to babysit for a family member so the mom and dad or the could go out on the town for the night. You could give somebody – I think our daughter-in-law is going to get a gift.
Oh, you don't want to give it away, do you?
I do, because I asked her what would be meaningful to her, which is a good question to ask adults. A gift certificate for some exercise classes. So there's all sorts of possibilities out there, and it doesn't have to take time if you don't have time. And if time would stress you out, there's ways to get around that.
All right. We have some wonderful emails that we've received. We have this email from Deborah. This year, my entire family has rented a house on the beach in Florida for Christmas. Not only am I excited that we will all be together, which includes two grown daughters, their spouses, two grandbabies, and two dogs, but the fact that we decided not to give gifts this year. I cannot tell you how relaxed and wonderful I feel not to have that pressure of finding the perfect gift and the outpouring of money. A week all together is the perfect gift. We also have another one. This is from Deb on Facebook. She says, my family is blessed with more than enough, so we no longer exchange presents, instead support social causes like food banks, shelters, endangered species. Then instead of opening presents, we share what we've done over the year. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something. Now, you're not advocating that people get rid of presents. And obviously, presents are a very, very exciting and important part of many people's holiday celebrations. But I think a lot of people think, well, you know, we don't really need this stuff. But what do we do if we don't open presents? Do you get that question from people?
No, I have never heard that question.
No.
And I do think that gifts, it's not about not giving gifts, because giving is really nice. But just being intentional about the holidays. But yeah, there's storytelling, and we have resources online that give where you can get ideas on what to do. Christy Cooper is a wonderful resource for us. She works with Iowa State Extension and Outreach, and she has helped us with the Reclaim Your Holidays project. And there are two handouts that she's done to help grandparents and parents with some of the issues of the holidays. The one for grandparents gives specific ideas of things you can do with kids besides giving them gifts. But it actually also talks about what kinds of gifts to give if you're going to give a material gift. So giving your time, going to activities, even giving them skills, you know. You may know some carpentry skills. You could build a birdhouse together, or lots of things. And you can always play games, which is a big hit at my family's gatherings.
We have Deb on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Deb.
Hi. I think I'm the third Deb now.
Yep. Yeah, there are many of you. You have a wonderful story from your family, though. Tell me about it.
Well, I have to give my niece Lindsay credit for this last year, and we're going to be doing it again this year. She created a coloring contest. She got 8-pack crayons, Crayola crayons, so we had the coloring contest, and she copied a coloring page from a coloring book for everybody. It was a fireplace with stockings, and we had a coloring contest, so everybody got their own pack and paper. There was an adult division and a kids division, and some of the adults got very competitive. I think we had a red and yellow Iowa State version and a Hawkeye version. So it was very fun, and the kids we have a lot of young kids in the family, so they had a great time. The adults had a great time, and we'll be doing that again this year. And it's a great project that's not so overwhelmingly technical to do.
Right. Oh, Deb, thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for sharing. And you can join our conversation with your stories, your suggestions at 866-780-9100. And let's hear another story about meaningful events of the holidays.
Hey, my name is Abby Meyer, and I'm a student that goes to the University of Iowa, and I'm actually on my junior year this year. So for one holiday tradition that my family does it's actually right before Christmas and around Thanksgiving, is we have a tree trimming party at my grandma's. And what we do is we go up to her attic and we bring down all the decorations and start decorating her house. And what we've done for a really long time, since I was little, we started it. We did it up until my uncle actually passed away, but we would start decorating the tree, and we would start putting tinsel on the tree. But one thing we would always do, we would always try and find him somewhere in the house and start covering him with tinsel. He would kind of get into it. He would try and, like, kind of hide around the house. Right when we brought down the decorations after about the third year of doing it, he would always try and hide. And we would always go and find him and kind of decorate him instead of the tree. And it was just a lot of fun. And my uncle actually passed away when I was in third grade. He always used to call me Crabby Abby since my first name is Abby. And he was the funny guy of the family. So that was just a time where we all kind of realized, like, how lucky we were to be together and to be able to cherish that time instead of just cherishing what you get at Christmas. And I guess people sometimes don't realize that until someone passes away or something bad happens. But so I guess one way that to kind of get rid of the material items at the holiday is kind of the best way, just to interact with your family. I mean, there's times in Christmas where, you know, you're so excited for this one gift, but when you don't have gifts anymore, it's more of just the connection, and you get excited to see people and to interact with your family members and just talk to them about how their life is going, especially for family members that live states away. When they come back for the holidays, everybody is basically centered around them because nobody has seen them in forever. And instead of centering around the gifts, they're centered around people and your relationships that you have with your family. And my family, for Christmas, we've actually gotten rid of gifts altogether. We just go to a hotel, and we go to a that has a swimming pool, and we have a bunch of little kids in my family, and they all swim, and then everybody else kind of hangs around the pool and watches, and it's just, it's a great time to just get together and just be happy and thankful that you have a family to go to.
A story from Abby Meyer about the meaningful parts of her holiday season. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can also send your stories to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I want to mention that we found a couple of the stories that we're sharing this hour through the Public Insight Network. It's a way for Iowa Public Radio to better connect with our listeners and to tell your stories. So next Wednesday, we're doing a show on Iowa culture. And if you have any insights or thoughts you'd like to contribute to that show in the way that we've had contributors today, you can share your thoughts by going to the or by joining the Public Insight Network. You can go to Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page and you follow the link that you'll find at the top of our feed here in just a couple of minutes, and you can be a part of possibly Iowa Public Radio programs in the future or a resource for our reporters as well. We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment. We're talking about reclaiming your holidays this year. This is Talk of Iowa.
It's the time for play. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it the whole year round. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen trees. And the sun is red like a pumpkin head. It's shining so your nose won't freeze. The world is your snowball. See how it grows. That's how it goes whenever it snows.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about reclaiming your holidays, finding the meaning and joy in our holiday season amidst all of the hustle and bustle and buying that can sometimes be so overwhelming for people. And you are welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, or you can post on our Facebook page as well. And with me in the studio today are Carol Yates and Susan Salterberg of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project, which is based at the Center for Energy and Environmental Education and at the University of Northern Iowa, I should also mention. And Carol, a little while earlier, we were talking about some of the advice that is available on your website for parents in talking to grandparents, because I know that, of course, grandparents want to give their grandkids the most wonderful things ever for the holidays. And sometimes the crush of toys can get to be a little overwhelming for parents. And I'm sure no kids are complaining about it. But what kind of advice do you have for parents who want to talk to their parents about choosing fewer or more meaningful gifts for the kids?
One of the first steps that people can take is to start the conversation. And that's not always an easy thing to do. But this one of the handouts on our website, a tool, says that grandparents and aunts and uncles, extended family, want to do a lot for kids because they love them. But maybe one thing that people could do would be to use I statements in their communication rather than you statements. Not blaming on either side, but talking about how they feel about perhaps too many gifts that have been given or the type of gift. And that can open the door to saying, I'm concerned that my kids have too many toys, rather than blaming someone for giving too many toys. So that's just one simple way to try to start a conversation.
Well, and George in Mason City went through something similar in her family. Hi, George.
Hello.
Hi. And you felt that your kids were getting too many presents. So what did you do?
Well, they're the first in their generation. And so everyone was so excited to have children to buy for. And the first couple of years, we were totally inundated with presents, and the kids couldn't even enjoy them. They were just too much. So when they were about 2 and 3, we asked the relatives. We sent out a note to the relatives that we were trying to build the wardrobe in our dress-up box, and we asked that each person who was planning to send just send one item for the dress-up box, and we got the most wonderfully eclectic collection of vests and hats and glasses and shoes. It was wonderful. And they played with those for years. We had two more kids, and everybody in the neighborhood played with the dress-up clothes.
That was really, that's a wonderful story.
Yeah, and it was such a blessing not to have all those little pieces and, you know, all the things around. So,
well, George, thank you so much. And were your kids thrilled, or were they? Was there any disappointment? I know that that's one of the big fears that grandparents have. They want nothing more than to make the kids happy, and they don't want any disappointment.
Actually, because we hadn't really exposed the kids to television much, they didn't know what they were supposed to want, and they were thrilled with the dress-up clothes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. And Mark is on the line in Wilton. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
Well, this goes back a couple of weeks or a couple of years. My wife's a great cook, and we always had a big family feed on Thanksgiving. But a couple of years ago, she took ill on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, so we had to cancel it. And then we rescheduled it for Saturday. And we established it as a new tradition because we can sit home on Thanksgiving Day and put our feet up and be thankful, not rush around and have to cook or clean. Friday, we've got all that time on our hands. We can cook and do all sorts of things. Saturday, no one else has plans to go anywhere. They have a day in front or day afterwards to travel. And we now call it Fat Turk Day. And this year, you know, everybody asks what they can bring. And sometimes it's good stuff, and sometimes it's, you know, lime salad or whatever. But this year, we asked them to make a contribution to one of two charities we picked up that deal with food. And instead of bringing a gift, pay what they would pay for a meal out. And as a result, we raised about $400 for two charities, and everybody felt good.
Oh, Mark, what a great story. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Well, and there is a lot of competition in families. I mean, when things get overwhelming because, of course, everybody wants to be with you on the day of whatever holiday it is that you're celebrating. Have you helped people tackle that problem, Susan?
I loved what Peggy said at the very beginning, where she's trying to not
compete.
And I loved several things that she said. One is that there are always new challenges. And you, listeners like me, my family's world has sort of changed this year for some variety of reasons. And it's not like we think that there's a prescription for a perfect holiday or do this and it will all work out, because there'll be new challenges that come up. But what I was thinking about when Mike called, I think mm-hmm. his name was Mike, Mark, maybe this last guy. It reminded me of the pie night that I was telling you about earlier. Some friends of mine years ago decided that pie does not get its due on Thanksgiving Day. And so they are now starting a pie night the Friday before Thanksgiving. And I was invited to this feast. And the admission fee was bring a pie. And there were probably 20 pies there. And my mom and I went. And it was wonderful. So another twist on not having people compete, you know, for the same day.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. We have so many great ideas for meaningful things to do during the holidays. Zach is on the line. Hi, Zach.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi. What's your story?
So my family has this long tradition of making each other Christmas ornaments featuring pictures of our family from that year and putting them on our Christmas tree. And I got to say, it's really cool. Every year our Christmas tree has some, you know, more traditional decorations on it as well. But we've also got kind of this living memorial to the memories of years past. And we still have ornaments from some of my deceased grandparents and just from times when we were all much younger. And it's always a really cool time when we get to be home for the holidays and see everything that our family's been through, and all those other previous holidays as well.
Do you make them together, or is this something that you make before the holiday for a gift?
When I was younger, we used to make them together. But now that we've all gotten a little bit older, we often do them on our own.
And, you know, we just like to actually get photos printed. You can still do that, I
guess.
You don't just have to put them on Facebook or Instagram. And then you can, but you can get them printed out, and then you can just cut them out into little shapes or mount them on previously existing ornaments. And there's just a lot of room for creativity.
Well, that's a wonderful story, Zach. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. We just had that experience in our family because we also do photo ornaments over the years. And we have photos of every animal that we've ever had in our family. We have a lot of animals mm-hmm. in our family. And so that's always, it's a little bit bittersweet to put up the ornaments of the ones that are gone, but it's wonderful to relive those memories as well. James is on the line next in Rowan. Hi, James.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, what's your story?
Well, every year towards midnight or towards the end of the evening on Christmas Eve, we go out to the barn. And first off, just think about manger and the first Christmas. And then secondly, we bring treats to all the animals. The horses get apples, the cats get some extra milk, the dogs get some treats. Just kind of include everybody in the tradition.
And you go out at midnight?
Well, before everybody goes to bed, depending on the age of the group that's there at the time.
All right.
We go out in the evening before we go to bed and go out to the barn, feel how cold it is, feel how, you know, look at the manger and think about those things.
Oh, wonderful. Now, when I was little, I read a couple of different stories about a, I don't know if it's a myth or a legend that animals can speak at midnight on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. Have you ever run into that?
We've never caught them.
All right, maybe this year is your year. Oh, James, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can share some of your most meaningful traditions in your family with us. We'd love to hear your stories. 866-780-9100 or Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. Tess is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Tess.
Hi.
Hi, what's your story?
Well, as my husband and I get older, we have downsized, and now we've gone from your traditional, you know, 6-foot Christmas tree to an authentic Charlie Brown Christmas tree, which has one ornament on it.
One ornament. How did you select the one ornament?
Well, it actually comes with it. It's a Charles Schulz.
Oh, okay.
And it looks exactly like the one in the Charlie Brown Christmas movie. And we get it out every year and put it up, and it looks, you know, it looks tiny and it kind of looks a little sad, but it's perfect. It's just the nicest symbol for us that Christmas is Christmas. It's not a commercial holiday for us. And now my mother, who is in her 70s, I bought her one and she absolutely loves it.
Oh, that's
wonderful. She said it reminds her of when my brother and I were 4 and 5 years old and we would watch, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas, which I've done every year for 45 years. And, you know, it's just our symbol, and it's very simple.
Well, Tess, thank you so much for calling and sharing.
Thank you.
And again, you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. And we have another story to share.
My name is Linda Hunter. I live in Des Moines, Iowa. And my holiday tradition in the last few years is basically two things. I have been re-gifting things that I have, and I have been shopping local, particularly through people that I know, artists and painters and people who make their own things. I find that a lot more personal. And when I re-gift things that I know the people would like. They are thoughtful gifts. I do put a lot of thought into it because I want it to be a gift from the heart. I have journals that my great-great-grandmother wrote. They're from like 70 something through 1915. And she talks about how her grandson got a sled for Christmas. That's the only gift he got. And I think the value of Christmas and the thoughtfulness and the soul of Christmas was more present then than today. They lived on a farm, of course, and like they would butcher a hog at Christmas time, and then give that to their neighbors and relatives for Christmas. And those were gifts from the heart. That was something they made, that they raised and they cared for and that they were proud of, that had value to them. And I think we've lost that. We just go out with our plastic card. We buy something wrapped in plastic. We come home and we wrap it in gift wrap that we buy at really what is a dear cost, I think. And it doesn't have a lot of meaning anymore. And I think one thing that we're missing in our culture that we used to have more of it when I was little is ritual. And that feeling of meaning that would really fill you up with comfort and joy. I just don't see it that much anymore.
Linda Hunter shared that story with us, and we're nearly out of time. We had an email on the same, well, on a similar subject. Linda has talked about how she's made regifting part of her holiday, and that was a question that we got from Forrest. He says, can regifting be a legitimate part of having a greener, more sustainable holiday? And I think that there's a little bit of skepticism from a lot of people about that. Why are you giving me something you don't want anymore? But what kinds of things have you found about regifting and how to make that a meaningful part of a holiday?
There's lots of ways to do that. And I think most people would accept a regift, especially if it was something they wanted. Another thing that some of the people who are trainers, who we have trained to take this message to their audiences at nature centers or 4-H congregations, have talked about repurposing and using materials or an item and turning it into something else. So that's not exactly a regift, but it's in along the same veins to repurpose something that the recipient might like to have.
Susan?
Oh, I can say that if it's not a thoughtful gift, it's probably not going to work very well. But if it's regifted and you think that it really is something that they would like, great. We have a Finding Used Gems tips on the website, and this was written by a college student for us, and it was very interesting to hear their perspective because I think they think it's cool to do that now. So
right.
Go get some cool stuff from the 1950s.
Well, I want to end with an email. This is from Nick in Chicago. He says, one thing we do is have fake Christmas in January instead of on the 25th, so the whole family can congregate in Iowa City. Traveling's much cheaper and less hectic. And then he says, another tradition my young family has done for the last few years is listen to a Christmas carol read by Doug Brown on Iowa Public Radio, and that is also one of my favorite holiday traditions, read so beautifully by Doug Brown, who is one of my very favorite people on earth as well. So that's a wonderful way to celebrate your holiday. And I sense, Susan, you and I talked about this, and Carol as well, about 3 years ago when you first started this project. I sense that you're gathering steam, that a lot of people are getting excited about these ideas.
Yeah, we are. We do. We have trainers around the state who are doing work in their own communities on it. And if you're interested in learning how to do that, contact us at the ReclaimYourHolidays.org website. And I do want to put a plug in for REAP CEP and Solid Waste Alternatives Grant Program that helped get us started.
All right. Susan Salterbrick, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Carol Yates, thank you.
Thank you.
Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates of the Reclaim Your Holidays Project, based at the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Sarah Bowden, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can send us email anytime at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tomorrow on the show, I'm going to talk with Jim Autry and Sally Peterson about 365 days of gratitude. Talk of Iowa is a production of IPR News.